Okay, Rabosa. Memtes. Sif Memtes. Now, all of a sudden, we switch. The Gemara switches from a discussion of two women to a discussion of three women. But there's no real difference between the two women and the three women. It's just, you know, they illustrate different things with two women, different things with three women. But all the halachas that are said about two women apply to three, about three apply to two. So don't make too big of a deal of it. Shalosh nashim shalosh cholik echad or sheyashol sapsel echad zohar zove echar nimtol of kesem kulan tomeos. Okay, just like two were tomeos, so too three are tomeos. Ushi yasapsel that makabel toma. Obviously, only if they sat on a bench, that is makabel toma. Vamed varmun is machikul shalos. When is this true if they're all equal? So first of all, before we get to the main chiddush of sif mem tes, I'll point out to you that Taz says the same thing in sif mem tes that he said in sif. Chafei says the Taz, this is a couple of above, the Torah of Isa Aruch Daf, etc. Masik Bazed, the Philom Ain on Bar and Lishol Bas Achel Bazerchazet, the time nearly Komoshiko Savdi, etc. Right? So the Taz says the same thing he said earlier. That, remember, the whole question is this like Shishil, is it not like Shishil, Machlokas Taz and Shach there, Machlokas Taz and Shach Simon Kofiyat Aleph, and Machlokas Shach and Taz here. The Taz says, even if they come separately, they are still both Tomeos, and the Nekudas HaKesef, and the bottom here says very, or the side, very pithily, Karkas Havdi, B'samach lo kaim l'hachi. So it's the same, Achlokas Shach and Taz. The Taz says, even if they come separately, they're both Tomeos. And the Shach says, they're only Tomeos if they come together. If they come separately, they can be Tole on one another. Interestingly, the Badei HaShulchan brings down here from most of the later Achronim who split their psak. In Sif Chavhei, they paskin like the Shach, but in Sif Memtes, and Sif Memtes really means Sif Mem Aleph through Nun Gimel, they paskin like the Taz. So that's the Sibbei Tara says explicitly that they're different. That they're different. Why are they different? And again, not that this really is likely to come up a lot, but Sifcha is Chafhei, we would paskin like the Shach, and Sif Memtes, we would paskin like the Taz. Why? The difference is very clear. In Sif Chafhei, really the Shach's logic makes more sense. Rachel can say, I'm told on the bird. That was where there was one bird with a sella worth of dam, and they each found the sella. And they both want to be told on that bird. And Rachel can say, I'm told on the bird. What does Leah have to do with my Shiloh? Leah can say, I'm told on the bird. What does Rachel have to do with my Shiloh? So if they come separately, really, they can each be Mako. And we don't have to worry that we're contradicting ourselves, because they each have their own Shiloh. I know the Taz didn't think so. But the Shach has a stronger point. In Sif Mem Tes, which again is really short for Mem Aleph Thun and Gimel, all the ones with two or three women, really the Taz has a better point. Rachel says, I'm told that maybe the blood was from Leah. And Leah says, I'm told that maybe blood was from Rachel. It's hard to say they each have a separate shiloh there. They're each told on each other. There's no bird. There's no Tliya here. So therefore, it makes more sense that in the case of, here we have Sif. Chafei means one bird, two women want to be Tola on the bird. There we have the Taz and the Shach. That's if they come asked separately. The Taz says they're still Tmeos. The Shach says they're Tahoros. And likewise in Sif Mem Tes, which is really Mem Aleph through Nun Gimel, you had two or three women. And one kesem, and they want to blame each other. Likewise, the Taz says Tmeos, the Shach says the Horos. However, the Sibri Tara and many Achronim, I'm not saying all, but many Achronim split the Psak. In this case, they say Tahoros like the Shach. In this case, they say Tmeos like the Taz, and it makes a lot of sense, because in the first case,
Each one can say, I don't know anything about the other lady. I had a bird. Who knows that someone else also was osleep with the bird? I was osleep with the bird, let me be tola. Who cares that someone else wants to be tola on the bird? And therefore, it can be makel for each of them if they come separately. But in our Sith, Rachel says, look, it's either for me or Leah. But maybe it's her. Leah says, either it's for me and Rachel, maybe it's her. It's very hard to say. We can answer Rachel Shiloh without thinking of Leah. And answer Leah Shiloh without thinking of Rachel. Pashtus, even if they come separately, we have to judge them together, in which case the Taz makes more sense, and that's the psak of the Acharonim. Okay, the main chiddush of Sif Memtes is a kind of tliya that we didn't see yet. What we saw earlier in Seifim Mem Aleph and Mem Beis, if there were two ladies, and one was a regular lady, and the other one was likely to have dam, or was already tamei, and it didn't matter to her, then the regular lady could be told on the lady who's already tamei. Here's the opposite case. There's a regular lady and a lady who's super tahora. What do you mean super tahora? A regular lady and a selekis dam. So if there's one 60-year-old lady, and one 30-year-old lady, then it makes sense the 60-year-old lady could be told on the 30-year-old lady. Not that the 30-year-old lady is more easy to be told on, but that the 60-year-old lady is less likely to be told on. What Misalek is dumb, it means it can't be from her. So if there are 2 6-year-old ladies, what can we do? It's got to be from somewhere. It didn't come from outer space. But if there's a Misalek is dumb and a regular lady, then it makes perfect, just logical sense. Misalek is dumb and can be told on the regular lady. So what does he say here? Bamedivarim, Zanchukul, and Shabbos, they're all equal. Mohaisa, after real Luris, Yosemir, Haber, if one was more likely to see blood than her friend, Kigon, Shais, Zakeno, Muberis, Omenika, Oshla, Rasa, Dummy, and Meha, she's one of the 4 Misalek is dumb, an old lady or a pregnant woman or a nursing woman. Or someone who had not yet gotten a girl who had not yet gotten her period. Alfie should assume, even though she's married, Osa Shane Liros Tola Beruya, the Misalekas Daman can be assumed it came from the regular woman, which makes perfect sense. Agav, I just noticed something over the Hanukkah break that when we were learning about Muberis earlier, in Siman Kuf Bei Tes, he said, it's the age when, they would be Makbir, they're called Ima, etc. We had trouble figuring out the ages nowadays. And I said, I looked around at all the modern Sfarim and no one wanted to commit themselves to a number, but I looked in the Sefer Pua, Machon Pua put out so far, 2 volumes. The first volume is mostly on Hilchus Nida. And in it, they say, over 50 is the Kena. And didn't get her period 3 months, as we know. So if you want to fill in a number there, so the Sefer Pua quotes from Sefer that I'm not so familiar with, I forget what it was, that the age is 50. Sounds reasonable enough. At least sounds on the safe side.
These cases, are using the Sfar of the Rambam?
Here it's Pashat. Yeah, here that's Pashat, what's going on. Okay, no. Now let's try to run through some of the details. Yeah.
The Shomar used some language, the ceiling maybe wasn't the Duyot. He said, the Bismarck school in Shabbos. We're really not talking about Shabbos, we're really talking about a different category altogether, right? If one was more likely, but we don't have any real halachic thing...
No, Shabbos just means halachic category, right. Correct. Okay. Shabbos means halachic category. And that's going to be explicated a little more later, and we'll come back to some details. No. Sholosh nashim sheyishenos mita achas umeshulavos. 3 women who are sleeping in one bed and stuck. Shereglem urzubuzu. They're really stuck next to each other. Vinimtsa dam tachalach mehem, so they're mamish squeezed in, touching each other, and you find blood under one of them. Kulam tameos, since they're all so close, it's as if the blood was under all of them. This is just a judgment call. How close is close? It's all technicalities here. Vimeinam mishulav osubazu. What if they're not stuck to each other? They have a centimeter of fresh air in between them. So it's cool and tameos. Then we assume people still shift around a little, so whoever's within one of the dam, it could have been from them. So if you find it in the middle, they're all tameos. Nimza tachzapnimis, even so it's tameo. If you find it under the inner one, she in the middle one are tameos, but the outer one is too far away. Vachitzonis tohor, nimza tachzapnimis, even so it's tameo, apnimis tohor, you get the point. But medvar mum shalu derech magalus hamita. This is only true when they got into bed by climbing up the foot of the bed. Volum olu derech chitzon, if they came, we're assuming one side of the bed is near the wall. If they all climbed onto the bed, not from the foot of the bed, but from the side of the bed, then they all climbed over the makom hachitzona. They all climbed over the outermost part of the bed. And therefore, kulam tameos, if you find on the outer part of the bed, they're all tameos because they all went by there. She'ulai derech avrasa, not tafim yanimi. When they passed by there to get into bed, it fell from her. Vani milik shon nimsal sudden elyum. Okay, and this is all true if you don't find it on the top sheet.
You find in the top sheet, then it doesn't matter where you find all tamayos. Because it moves around in the night. The top sheet moves around in all types of directions. Okay, there's a whole discussion in the Chronim. What about the bottom sheets? Does that also move around? Okay, lachor, it depends on your metzias, what kind of bottom sheets you have in your country. But again, this is not something that commonly comes up nowadays. The Shach points out that the obvious implication of our seif is that if they were not stuck together, we don't assume they got stuck together in the middle of the night without noticing. He also points out that this is all talking when there are three women in a bed. Because, like, they often try to keep their space. There's one woman in the bed, no matter where you find the stain on the bed, we assume she rolls over and turns over during the night and could be over any part of the bed. Okay, but this is all just mitzias. Nun aleph, kol ze mayri, shelo bodku shem achlim, or shebodku shloshtam umatzu tahoros. This all assumes that no one did a bedika, or, meaning no one did a bedika afterwards, so all three women are equal. Or they all three women did a bedika and didn't find anything. Then they're still all equal. Had to come from one of them. Avolim bodka achaz or shayim matzu toros. But if one or two of them checked and were clean, hein tahoros v'acherish lo bodka tmeya, then we assume that they're tahoros and the kesem's not from them. And it's the other one who's tmeya. After all, if two of them checked and one of them didn't check, then it's more likely to be from the one who didn't check. V'im bodka yam shlishim matzu toros. But what if the third one, which is very neat to stone with her, what if the third one also checked and found she was Tahora, then Kulam Tmeos, right?
She could not check.
Yeah, why does she have to check? Let's say there are three women. A and B check, found they were Tahoros. Right now, A and B can blame it on C, and C is Tmea. So if C checks and also finds she's Tahora, now they're all of them Tmeos, so that's very mean of her. I would advise her not to if she wants to have friends. The end, Bodka, yeah?
I said again, like,
Pashas, because again, in Ksumim, there's no chiyah to be a varer who is from. At least in most circumstances. How about the opposite? So if they found Tahoros, then one of them could save herself, the second one could save herself, the third one, if she's Tahoros, is going to mess everyone up, because then what can you do? What if one of them found she was Tmeya? Then she's a Tliya. If she's Tmeya, the stomach's from her. And they're all okay. But if two of them find their tomatoes, then their tomatoes, and the third one is Tahora. She blames them. Okay, so that's a Mefurish Gemara that Bedikas Tara helps and Bedikas Toma helps. Now the question is, when does this have to happen? So the Gemara seems to say very clearly what most Rishonim say, which is V'hadat Lina Ba'osa Shanim Matza Tomea La Tara Cheiros, Chain Hadam Tara La Osa Shamatza Tahora. When is this true? This is only true if it's mamish right away. Meaning not the sheer of right away that we're coaching Kofei Zion, that's like a 50-50 suffix that would be like Mechayim someone Asham Talo if they found this after Tashmish. No, the sheer of right away that's a vadai. The sheer of right away that if you find that after Tashmish, Mechayim Chatas, because it's a vadai. So there's a certain shear of so close afterwards that's vade. What's that shear so close afterwards? The aid is already in her hand, and she doesn't move. She just right away wipes herself in her genitals with that aid and doesn't even do it, not a bedika even. Bedika b'chor nustakin to go check all the cracks and crevices that takes a while. Just a quick wipe, which is like 1 second maybe. That if it's that close, then it counts. But if she waits long enough for the shear that it takes to do a bedika, which is many seconds, to check all the cracks and crevices, then that bedika doesn't count for anything because it's too late. The bedika has to be miyad. This is a machlokas rishonim in the, if you noticed in Beis Yosef, there are three opinions about this. In the rishonim, bedika, achar, Mitzias Kesem, most Rishonim, such as the Rashba and the Ramban and the Rambam, etc. Most Rishonim said it needs to be Miyad. Because if it's right away, then it's relevant to the time the Kesem was found. Right? If you do it right away and you find your Tmei at the time the Kesem was found, that's relevant to the Kesem. If you do right away and you find your tahora, your tahora, the time is kesem. The kesem was found. That's relevant to the kesem. But if you wait 3 seconds and do it, that's afterwards. Afterwards is not relevant anymore. Who cares if you're tmei afterwards? That doesn't establish anything. After all, we have an idea of, who cares if you're tmei afterwards? That doesn't establish anything. The rush holds that even later helps. Why does even later help? Don't we have we normally have the rule that a bedika after something is only relevant if it's the same time. And the same time means right away. It means what we call a sheer vesis. Nothing to do with vesis of vestos. Vesis really just means the time. So here means the shortest time. Right away, why do? So says the Rush, what's the svara? The svara is that, by other parts of Hilchas Nida, a bedika is only relevant to something that happened in the past if it's right afterwards, because that counts at the same time. Sort of like Tokdei Dibur. Not like, but parallel to Tokdei Dibur. Something right afterwards still counts at the same time. But if it's 3 seconds later, then it doesn't help. However, the Rush says, but here it's Ksamim. And Ksamim are always more Makel and Ksamim. So in Ksamim, they're Makel, even if 20 minutes later she did a bedika, and three women, and 20 minutes later one of them did a bedika and found she was Tamea. So that might or might not be relevant to the time the Kesem happened. But since it might be, that's good enough to be told like Kesem. After all, for Ksamim, even a small Tliya is good enough. Or let's say 20 minutes later, a woman checked herself and found she was Tahora. Then okay, she was Tahora the whole time. Does that really prove she was Tahora at the time of the Kesem? No. But it's good enough for Ksamim, and the Svara is Ksamim Hekivu. The Balamor, not in the Balamor, I mean, the Rabzachi Halevi, right? We don't quote Balamors from the Sefer Amor, we quote them from his Hasagos. On the right, then, the Raza has a third shita. He says that Badka Atzma, or let's try and make this less wordy. If she was, what's the lashon here? Matzah Tmeya only helps Miyad. But Matzah Tahora Filo Acharzman Mehani. That if she wants to find herself Tmeya, it's basically saving other people or saving herself. To save other people, save the other woman, they find she's Tmeya. That only helps if she finds she's Tmeya Miyad. But to save herself if she finds she's Tahora, that helps even if she finds it half an hour later. What's the svar for this? So mistama, the svar for this is the original sugya. Let's remember the original sugya of this. The original sugya finding miyad is a woman finds blood after tashmish. She wants to know, are they chayva karbon for tashmish benita or not? So if she finds it right away, they're chayva karbon, because that counts as finding it the same time as tashmish. If she finds it a few seconds later, that's called achar. That's the Chayvin Hashem Toli, it's 50-50 suffix. And if she finds it 15 seconds later, which is really just with all the chumras of the Ramah, she finds it, we'll call it 15 seconds later. It doesn't have to be that one. But if she finds it 15 seconds later, then they're not Chayv anything because we assume it happened later. So we know that if she finds blood, if we want to assume that it was relevant right away, it has to be Miyat. However, I think this is Father Balamor, he doesn't explain himself so much. He says, that's if she finds she's Tmeya. Why? Very pasha. What's the svara? The svara is she's now Bechezkas Tara. I mean, let me illustrate this better. The svara, I think the svara of the Baal Mars makes a lot of sense. Let's say she found the Kesem at 2 o'clock is Metzias HaKesem. So, before 2 o'clock, she was Bechezkas Tara. So now, you want to know when a bedika proves anything about 2 o'clock. Well, very simple, that depends. If you're talking about Matzah Tmeya, then 2 o'clock and 1 second proves she was Tmeya at 2 o'clock. Because that counts as the same time. But
2 o'clock and 2 seconds? No. She was Bechez Kaskara at 2 o'clock. And that doesn't prove anything, right? Because you want to prove she was Tamea when she was Bechez Kaskara. You need to prove it right away. If you wait 2 seconds, then that doesn't prove she was Tamea at 2 o'clock.
I mean, she's Bechez Kaskara with a huge Reyesa. That there's, she has a Kesa now. And then you see later in two seconds more, she's bleeding.
So just put two and two together.
You have someone who's Bechez Kaskara, and then she has a Kesa, and then she's bleeding. All in a span of 2 minutes, we're going to say that, like,
and that's exactly,
there's no way that she,
and that's exactly what the Rush says. The Rush says, come on, you know, it's got to be worth something. But the other Rishonim assume no. The most Rishonim and the Malamor assume is she has to have an independent Chezkas Tuma in order to be told on her.
I think it might be more of that. Mm-hmm. If we find sort of like a running faucet at the time that we see a Kesem, then it's very easy to blame it on the running faucet. If you knew that the faucet was running at the same time, if it's later, we don't know when it started.
And you're not saying the same thing as I am in different words?
You're going for some halakhic terminology that I think the halakhic terminology has its own pitfalls, because you're trying to say, like, the cheskas tahara there that you want to say is really strong. 2 seconds later, there's the whole problem is the cheskas tahara is in question right now. And she wants to tell herself.
So fine, so say better.
And she's going to be tummy in the end.
Say better.
I would say that, you know, it's sort of, it's almost like it's matzah pesuach at that time. Then we could say that the blood that we found that was running must be from her.
Okay.
As opposed to, if you find later on that she's Bechez Kaskara before and she's Bechez Kaskara after, then the time
exactly.
Between, just assume the in-between.
Exactly. Exactly. So if you, I have no problem reformulating there. Hopefully I reformulate taking into account Shua's Ha'ara. If you find it 1 second later, that proves the faucet was open at 2 o'clock, so you're told on her. Find it 2 seconds later, it doesn't prove the faucet was open at 2 o'clock. That was 2 seconds ago. How do we know what happened? But in this case, Matsatara, even at 3 o'clock, that establishes a straight Chezkaskara from before 2 o'clock through after 2 o'clock. And therefore, it helps for 2 o'clock as well. After all, she's Bechez Kaskara before 2 o'clock. She's Bechez Kaskara after 2 o'clock. So, she's Bechez Kaskara during 2 o'clock also. And therefore, the Baal HaMor would say, because of the Kaskara is just continuing what happened before 2 o'clock, that could work even afterwards. After all, you have Sunday and Tuesday, so you got Monday also. But a Tumah, which is defining a new fact, that's not going to help before you find it. That's l'chora, the svara of the Baal HaMor. How do we paskin? The Baal HaMor has a very nice svara. The Rosh also has a very nice svara. And if you look at Meishi Yosef, you see how they were daikin from the sugya. Two totally different ways. Nice svaras, but we paskin like Rov Rishonim. You don't like my svara?
No, I do. I'm just a little confused in general about, like, why.
So, until we get to the sheet of the Rambam, I would answer you, well, we assume the Kesem didn't happen until it was found, because of Chazaka the Meikara. So it's all good.
So because, going back to Shua's point, like, meaning this is all really building up of already using the Chazaka the Meikara for this any.
Yes, so far.
Okay.
Okay. However, so we Paskin, like most Rishonim, not like the nice Svara, the Rush nice Svara, the Raza, everyone has a nice Svara. But we pass like the majority, nice far. Now, here's where it gets very, very fascinating. It's not in the Shulchan Aruch here, although it got a lot of press in the Beis Yosef. It's not even in the Nosei Kelim on the page here. How about the following case? Right? Cheski brings up an interesting case. How do you know right after you find the Kesem is right after the Kesem happened? And let me see that and raise you one. What if we know that it's not right after the Kesem happened? Like, just example, 3 women lie in a bed, they all get out of the bed, they all brush their teeth, and then they go and see Kesem on the bed and do a bdika miyad. Does that help? After all, the Kesem's been there from 10 minutes ago. Or the case they were discussing is 3 women share a dress. First one wears it, then the second one wears it, then the third one wears it. She notices the Kesem. They all do bdika right away. But the first two haven't worn the dress since yesterday.
So does that help? Or the later Chum say, what if you found a dry kesem? So you know it didn't come now. So does, is that also, do you need miyad to when the kesem might have come at least? Or just miyad to when you find the kesem? So obviously the simple pshat is that what if you have, right, miyad limtzias hakesem, but muflag just means a while later, mi hishavos hakesem, from the staining, from when the kesem happened, right? Well, like the example they use, the dress. But again, they all get out of bed and then notice the kesem. Obviously, it didn't come now. It obviously came 2 minutes ago. So does the yad help? So, say Rov Rishonim, that's not called miyad. After all, the dam came 10 minutes ago, right? So here's the case, right? What's the case? 2 o'clock is they leave the bed. 2:10, you notice the kesem. 2:10 and 01. One or more of the women does a bedika. Does that help? Right? So that's not called miyad. It's not worth anything because it doesn't prove anything about the time the kesem happened. That's the opinion of most Rishonim. And that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in the Achronim. However, now it's not actually clear if any Rishonim hold this, but all the classic notes, the Kehillah, the Magen Mishnah, and the Kesem Mishnah, assume the Rambam holds this way, and the Veis Yosef even assumes the Torah holds this way. Although it's very far from Mukhrach. So, the Rambam and the Torah, Lefi, the Beis Yosef, and the Magen Mishnah, right, and the Rambam, and the Torah, Lefi, the Beis Yosef, even though his argument's not so convincing, but Beseder, it's a Shita. They say, this is called Miyad. They say that's called Miyad. And among the Achronim, there are Achronim Paskin like this. Like, for example, the Sidrei Tara in the back of the Shulchan Aruch Paskins this way. That is called Miyad. That is an interesting Svara, although it's not discussed here on the page. Or Akiva Eger discusses it, but not on the Shulchan Aruch. And he agrees with the Sidrei Tara, actually. I don't have a clear psak on this, meaning it's not likely to happen that we'll be called upon to Paskin it, not to worry. But this is an interesting machlokes because the pashpshat seems to be like most Rishonim. No, it has to be miyad of when we assume this kesem could have happened, or when we halachically attribute this kesem to. Right? If you notice it now while you're wearing the dress, we attribute it to now. So miyad from now. If you notice it while you're in the bed, we attribute it to now. So miyad from now. The Rambam Shita is a bit of a chiddush. Just the Svara. Here the Svara is Pashut. That Bedika is only significant if it reveals something about when the Kesem happened. The Rambam Shita is going to be a little trickier. It's going to be a little more formal, right? The Svar for the Rambam, L'chor, is going to be nothing of along the lines of what we said. L'chor, the Svar of the Rambam is going to be, no, that it doesn't have to reveal something of when the Kesem happened. It just has to reveal something about when we paskin the Kesem. Like, when the Kesem happens, that's when the Tumas Kesem takes effect. And this bedika is only going to help narrow it down if it's before the tumah took effect. Once the tumah took effect, midrabanan, it's too late to change. That's lechora what you have to say.
Your halachic svara would work much better in that scenario. Meaning,
correct.
It all perfectly fits, and it's not right about the timing logic.
It's a formal halacha, right? That the tumas kesem, since it's midrabanan, is chal bishas metzias hakesem. Now, that's very far from Pasha, that when the Tumas Kesem is Chal, meaning you know, in these of Taros, when would we assume you're Tumah from, etc. But let's say at least in some respect, you know, this Tumah, the Gzeret Rabbanan takes effect in some sense. Don't take this too literally. V'shas v'tzias hakesem, and afterwards, it is too late to change the din. Okay, so for the Rambam, it's more formal. It's not really at all about figuring out what was going on at the time this blood came onto the sheet, bench, dress, whatever it was. Rather, for the Rambam, it's a formal din, is that it's chal at a certain time. We take into account the information we have then, at least when it comes to deciding between women, and you can't add information later. The gzeira is already chal. Women unequal, right?
No, but it doesn't like still tell us about anything about this particular caste. It makes them unequal in terms of their current situation, like whether they're believing or not. I mean,
but if they're unequal in terms of their current situation, that's good enough. After all, we know Misalek is Damim, we know Nachris and Nida, Jersey Okanegan.
That's what I was looking back and saying how likely they were to have had that. As you're saying,
not all, not necessarily, maybe, or maybe it's just about,
like
you know. Being able to be a chriyah to the way we paskin, right?
And does it matter if she was misalekas damim at the time that it happened, or the time the shaila is asked?
That's a great
I
question.
I would assume, up until this very moment, I was assuming, like,
the at the time it happened,
yeah.
Pashtus. That is a fascinating question. You're right, look, this Rambam is a chiddush. I would still hope to assume that misalekas damim depends when it happened, not when the shaila is asked. Not when the shaila is asked, but Misulekas Damim is different. Meaning, Misulekas Damim is, I think the Rami, even though it's going to be a little tricky, Misulekas Damim is different because when she's Misulekas, she's Misulekas. When she isn't, she isn't. As opposed to a woman who's Tmeya.
She got her period 3 days after the story happened. You might still be told on her.
Right, it's an interesting question. There are some Rishonim who say the limit is 24 hours, which is the normal limit of Lom Afrei in the days of Taros in the very beginning of Seches Nida. So it could be that there's still a limit, but it could be the Rambam would say, look, even if you're Tmeya within 24 hours, as long as you know we can take that into account when the Kesem happens, that makes you more likely than the other person. And if you're Tahora, then that makes you less likely than the other person. It certainly does affect the likelihood. Okay, but you're right, it's a big chiddush. Okay, we will leave it for now. The Rashi is a little more complicated here. He seems to pass in like the Rambam for Matzah Tahora and like the other Rishonim for Matzah Tmeya, which is sort of an echo of the Baal HaMor, right? But we'll leave that for now. You can ruminate on that at home. Nun Beis. Bamed Varamum Shakul and Shabbos. When is this true? Now here it's just repeating what we said b'kitzer memtes. Now it's going to the details. Shekulah shavos avalam achas Rabbi Lewis Yosef Chaverta. If one is more likely to bleed than her colleague she'ein ruyah tola beruyah, the one who's misalekas damim is tola on the one who is a regular woman. Ketzad achas zekena shavur la shol shonos lo rasa. Right, it's a kena, which again I did find sefer puras at 50. Who had three onos without re'iyah, v'achas yalda, yalda meaning regular woman, not kid, zekeinah Torah, v'yalda t'meya, achas mu'ber shuku uva, v'achas she'inu mu'ber, v'ber sov, she'inu mu'ber t'meya, achas p'sul es damer, shalom rasa mi'olam, v'achas sharasa, shalom rasa, tahor, v'sharasa t'meya, achas v'nika, achas she'inu v'nika, v'nika Torah, she'inu v'nika t'meya, v'kashem she'tola v'chaverta, just like she's tola in her kali, kach tola v'atzma, right, she can also be tola in herself. Remember, we said every time you can be tola in another one you can tell yourself. Shem loves shachol b'zman she'inu uberes. Acharkach lavash b'zman she'inu uberes. And so lavdam tolav yom rishonu shlohaisu uberes peyminigus gainu Torah. Right, a woman. We mentioned this already. Right, this idea before she was pregnant wore a dress, and then meanwhile went to the mikvah, and then wore the dress again when she was pregnant and found the kesem. She could blame it on her pre-pregnancy self, who's more likely to bleed than her pregnant self. And likewise the others. Hayu kulam shavos. What if they're all equal? Menikos, ozakenos, oachas, kinvachas, menika, entolos, wazuf. They're all equal. They obviously can't blame each other. What if they're different misalekas damim? There are four misalekas damim. What if one's Minika, one's a Kena, etc.? Then, nonetheless, we consider them all to be in one halacha category, and they can't blame each other. Like, you can't start being svar as that one is more Mishalukas than the other one. Well, maybe Minika's better than Ruberis, or Ruberis is better than the Kena. No, then they're all equal. The before we finish up the Sif, just one important ha'orah in the Shach and the Taz, says the Shach and Sif Katan Samach Tes, and the Taz and Sif Katan Lamed Gimel, they say, we mentioned being more likely or less likely based on Muveris and Minika and many other things. Nowhere in the Seifim does it say based on your Veses. What if one woman is the day of her Veses and one woman isn't? Right? Or what if one woman has a Veses Kavua and knows it's not the day of her Veses and one woman's not Kavua? So can you take Vestos into account to say, well, you're more likely if it's the day of your Veses, or you're less likely if you know that it's the day that you can't see because it's against your Veses? So the answer is no, since we paskin and Vestos are Durabanan. Therefore, we don't take Vestos into account in here, just like we don't take Summim into account for Summim. We don't take Vestos into account for Summim. And therefore, Rachel can't blame Leah. Leah can't blame Rachel. Based on Vestos, it has to be some other factor. Now, continuing the second half of Nun Beis. Hayu Shloshtan, starting from the Mem Sifkatan of the Taz part. Hayu Shloshtan Eros Shokazal Mita. What if, until now, when we had that weird case in Nun, they were asleep? What if they were all awake, lying on the bed? Or Yoshua Safsal was sitting on the bench, Ke'echad, together. And you find blood under one of them. So it's even under the middle. Remember, if they were asleep and we find blood under the middle, then even if they weren't squished together, if they were asleep, we always attribute it to the one who is over the blood and the one next to her. So if we find it under the middle one, we attribute it to the middle one, the right one, the left one, and we're tamei them all. But what if they're awake? Then, since they all know where they lied or sat, if they're awake, they know where they were. And anyone who says, I know I didn't sit there, I know I didn't lie there, is tahora, because they know where they were and where they weren't. What if it's found mamish in between, smack in between two of them? So it's found under one, she's tamea, and whoever says, I know I didn't go there, is tahora. If it's found between two, they're tameos, and whoever says, I know I didn't go there, is tahora. V'acher is tahora. Okay, this is just a chitimtzis. If they all climbed from the outer side, and it's found in the outer side, they're all tameos, because they all climbed over there. So you get the point. And what if they had some business on the inside? Like, they all had some business to lean towards the inside. They all had some business that made them all move to the inside of the bench. Like they're grinding, they're milling with a millstone. So they all have to lean in and squish themselves in to mill with the millstone. And you find it under the inner one, then the inner one, and the one next to her, tomatoes, because we assume that they all had to squish inside, and they all might have moved over one because they had some, so they had to stretch and reach towards the inside. Okay, this is all common sense. If they were all had a reason to squish inside, then if you find it under the inner side one, she and the middle one are tomatoes, because everyone sort of squished over one. If you find it in the outer one, only she's tomato, because no one squished towards the outside. They only squished towards the inside. Here you have a very kolotor kuladik machlokas between the Taz and the Shachlin Kudusa Kesef over the following objection. The Taz says, hold on a second. Right, this may start to sound familiar to you at a certain point from, if you learned Isra Heto last year, from Simon, more than one Simon, but it was mostly in Simon Kuf Gimel and a few other places. Do we trust, do we trust someone to say that they didn't go somewhere, they didn't do something, they didn't stick the spoon in too much to the milchik spoon to the fleshy chicken soup? Do we trust you, affirm yet, do we trust you to tell us what you did if it has halachic implications? On the one hand, why not? Eid echad emi surin, right? Why shouldn't we trust you? On the other hand, they all start with this, I mean, over there, they quoted other things from all over the Ramah and Hilchos Shchita, but this halacha in your Dea, which is milsa de l'ramya le'de inshi lava daiti. Something you're not responsible for, something that's not significant for you, you don't pay attention. That's the basic rule. If something's not significant for you, you don't pay attention to it. What's the example? The classic example is someone says, I remember that's the exact example here. Yeah. I say to Yoni, I sue in court, don't you remember I lent you 1,000 shekel at the Trevi's Pizza? And Yoni said, I never went to Trevi's Pizza. Not true. I bring two edim that he went to Trevi's Pizza. So does that prove he owes me $1,000 or not? No, because like if he lied about the $1,000, that's one thing. That's called Hochsuk Shakron. He's a proven liar and he loses this case. But like the part of Trevi's Pizza wasn't the important part. That wasn't the significant part. That was just an insignificant detail. And the rule is in insignificant details, people don't pay attention and they could misremember. We don't take seriously what people say about insignificant details. Right? That's just, I mean, that's true. Like if you ever do like criminology, see how people give testimony, etc. Like, it's very easy to trip people up on details because people don't remember insignificant details. So, that's called milsa de l'ramya le'de inshi, something you're not responsible for, something you don't think is important. Lava daite, you don't pay attention to, you don't remember. So says the Taz, he says, we have a problem here. The Taz applies this all over your Dea. He says, all over your Dea, the Taz says, anything that at the time you didn't know was halakhically significant, you're not believed to say afterwards. So, classic example, you know, someone stirs their chicken soup with a milchik spoon. Now, they didn't purposely stir their chicken soup with a milchik spoon, right? They would have to be either the biggest Russia in the world or really stupid. No, they accidentally, they thought they were stirring their chicken soup with a fleishik spoon. And they took a milchik spoon. So, if we want to measure if they were shishim, can I get the spoon or not? After they say, I remember I only stuck the spoon in a third of the way when I stirred. So the Taz says we don't believe them. Why? Because at the time it wasn't significant. They thought they were stirring with a fleishik spoon. They didn't realize this was, if they realized it was halacha shayla, they wouldn't have done it. Right? They didn't realize it was significant, and therefore we never rely on an echad b'isurim if someone didn't think, if it wasn't halachically significant at the time, or rather, if it didn't look halachically significant at the time. That's a big chumra of the Taz. Whenever something looked meaningless and innocent at the time, there's no echad b'isurim. We don't believe you to testify. That's a big chumra of the Taz. The Shach disagrees. The Shach says no. The Shach says that's ridiculous. That's not... Okay, he has to be modu mixas a little more, your Dea, but what he says here, in his very short comments, he says... That's not what it says in Choshe Mishpat. Does it say in Choshe Mishpat that we take away your nemanus because we think you didn't pay attention to insignificant things? That's not what it says. Choshe Mishpat says we give you nemanus. Even though you lied about an insignificant thing, we don't call you a liar and we still consider you trustworthy. That just means why? Well, let me say it a little better. what's the case in... Why does the Shach point out it's not such a tight comparison? What's the case in Choshen Mishpat? The case in Choshen Mishpat is Trevi's Pizza. It wasn't Trevi's. They didn't have Trevi's Pizza in the days of Choshen Mishpat. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I never ate Trevi's Pizza. I'll assume it was a bad thing they didn't have Trevi's Pizza. But still, it's delicious pizza. And reasonably priced. Excellent kashrus, right? Excellent kashrus? Yes? I don't know.
Yes. It's the number of Lord's son.
What? Okay. Okay, fine. Seder, we won't talk anything about Moshe Rabbeinu's grandchildren here. But in any case, hashgacha in a pizza store is really not rocket science. It's like the easiest hashgacha in the world to give. What does he say here? He says here that's not a comparison. What's the case there? I think it's Amud Zer, right? But Tzad Amud Ploni. I went Batzad Amud Ploni. Why is it not such a good comparison? Here's the case in Choshen Mishpat, and here's the question in Yoredea. Batzad Amud Ploni. And what's the case by us? The case by us is, what does she say? Lobasi lemakom shenimtza hadam.
L'bosi l'makom shenimtza hadam. Or
a lot of parallel cases, right? So, what's the difference between them? The Taz says same thing. After all, at the time it happened, this was insignificant, right?
They were just like sitting on a bench, and he was just passing by a pizza store. So what's the difference? So says the Taz, and what's the halacha? Halacha is that we don't take his statement seriously. We don't take his statement seriously because he didn't pay attention at the time, so it wasn't important. So says the Taz. Likewise here, we don't take her statement seriously. Amen and menace. However, the Shach points out that's not such a great sushto.
What's the difference?
What other column would you add to justify the Shach? Not to justify, to repeat the Shach. Summarize the Shach. Is there a difference between the case of, I say I lent you $1,000. You say, you did not, I say I lent you $1,000 outside Trevi's. You say, I don't know what you're talking about. I never borrowed $1,000 and I never passed outside Trevi's. And here I say, we found Dom. And she says, I'm sure I never sat where that Dom was. What's the difference? In both cases, at the time it happened, it looked insignificant and unimportant. But what's the difference? At the time? What? At the time you? At the time you said it. At the time you said it, when I say, or you say, or whoever it was, I never passed by Trevi's. Was it important whether or not you passed by Trevi's at the time you said it? I say, I lent you $1,000. It's not really relevant. Even at the time you said it, it's not relevant whether you passed by Trevi's. It's relevant whether you borrowed $1,000. Passing by Trevi's is not significant. That was just an offhand comment, right? What you really said, I never borrowed $1,000 from you. And just to show, I never even walked by Trevi's. But that wasn't important. Even at the time you said it, it wasn't important. As opposed to here, when I say, we found out, we need to know everyone's halachic status. Are you a Nida? Are you Tahora? And then she thought about it and says, I'm sure I never sat in that place. When she said it was significant, so says the Shach, there's a big difference. At the time, she said it. It was still insignificant. But Ahmed says insignificant. When I go to court and I say, you idiot, I never borrowed money. I don't even know what Trevi's means. I didn't even know there's a pizza store called Trevi's. But that wasn't the significant part of what I was saying. And therefore, I sat to myself and I said, did I borrow $1,000 or not? I'm sure I didn't. I didn't sit and check and double check in my head. Am I sure I don't know what Trevi's is? Can I rack my brains? Maybe there's a Trevi's. No, because that's not significant, so I'm not careful with my words. But in this case, at the time she said it, it was significant. She knew that her halachic status depends on it. And therefore, says the Shach, nemenis in this case. And the same thing for the spoon. I remember I only stuck the spoon in a third of the way. The Taz says, since at the time it happened was insignificant, your memory is worthless. The Shach says, no, but when you said it, you took it exceedingly seriously. When you said it, you knew a halachic shiloh depended on it. And therefore, you racked your brains and you thought and you double-checked and you made sure that you knew what you were talking about. And then we do trust your memory. So that's it's a fundamental machlokes in psychology. Do we, again, the Shach does admit some exceptions, ayin sham, but it's a fundamental machlokes in psychology. Do we trust someone if right now they're taking it exceedingly seriously, but when it happened, they didn't realize they should take it seriously? Do we trust people's psychology to remember correctly? The Taz says no. Shach says, as long as at the time you think and double check, we believe you and take you seriously. Okay, that's a very fundamental machlokas. Lemaisa, the Torah Sashlamim says here, he gets out of this machlokas very easily. He says, B'ksamim hochin lehakil, anyway. Well, hold on a second. Actually, I take it back. However, says the Taz then he's against the Mechaber. Then he's against the Mechaber. After all, the Mechaber says, we do trust you. So what does the Taz say? He says, this case must be the only exception. Right? He says, well, this case, Ena Chanami. I just realized why I had trouble thinking of the
Simon, I was off by 10. I meant Simon Sadi Dalit, is where the Shach and the Taz were in Yordea. Anyway, says the Taz. In this case, it's different. You know why? Because it's right away afterwards. It's not even a few minutes afterwards. It's as soon as they get up. That's what he assumes here. Says the Taz. Should be. Ain't an emenes. She's an emenes. But there's a special exception here for two reasons. One and two. What are his two reasons? Number one, because here it's right away, so you're less likely to forget. And number two, because people, when they're awake, don't usually move to another seat anyway. So, like, even without your testimony, we don't think you move to another seat. And therefore, he says, in this case, she'll be nemenes, but the klal and kolos tarakula is that the Taz says we don't trust memory if you weren't paying extra attention at the time. The Shach says we do trust your memory as long as you're paying extra attention now when you give the testimony. And everyone agrees, of course, if even when you testify, you're not taking it seriously, that we don't trust you.
Is the Torah Shalom?
What? No, sorry, this is the Taz. This is the Taz. I take back the Torah Shalom. It wasn't it wasn't relevant.
So does the Shach understand the line Milsa de Logramiel and Sheila Vadaite mean during the testimony? Like,
yes. yes. That is what, if you look at the Lashon of the Shach, what does he say? He says, Dahasam Amrinon Lava Daiti Vefshukamakamisha Prabhul Haha Omeris Borili. She says, I'm sure, Viram Yalla. And it's Ram Yalla. When is Ram Yalla? When she says she's sure. Right? The Ilav Devadi Kushkam Risurkam. And if she wasn't sure, she'd be doing an Isser. Of course she's careful with the word. She doesn't want to do an Isser. For the Shach, Ram Yalla is Bashas. I know he doesn't say it in these words, but that's clearly what he's saying. Is Bashas Hagada. For the Taz, Ram Yalla is Bashas Ra'iya. That's the basic difference. That's the fundamental. That's the Yisoda Machlokas between them. Okay, so in the end, they both agree this case is Mutter, because they agree with the Machaber here. And they agree it's Mutter, but in Kol Tarkula, they have a fundamental Machlokas. So for example, if I just substituted here, right, Hechnasti Hakach, Ad Chetzia, then the Shach would say Neman, and the Taz would say Eno Neman, and then it would be a real Machlokas. And that's a big Machlokas in Simen Tzadi Dalet, and quite a few cases in Yordea. Is someone believed, and this is my Simchol Yom Machlokas, right? Is someone believed to say what they did in various kitchen shilas if at the time they didn't take it seriously, but when you ask them, they take it very seriously because they know that it's a kashrus shayla and they're a firm person and don't want to eat treif. So that's subject to machlokas, Shach and Taz. But over here, even the Taz admits it's mutter because he finds some excuse to make this mutter, and he has two good excuses. Number one, it's very soon afterwards. Well, that's Okemta, who says it was soon afterwards. He makes the Okemta. And number two, people don't usually move seats anyway when they're awake. And the Torah Shalom just adds number three, because in Kesamim we're always more making. Okay, so that's a kolotar kulum achlokas. Nun gimel, hadarin nim tzedam acholik omito safsul kulum tmeyo sinis aska achsel b'ksamim kulum torah shakulum tolos vavi tolos b'ksamim. Okay, this is just common sense. Whenever we say two women or three women with the dress or the bed or the this or the that, if one of them had a real tliya, like she worked with stains and paint and things like that, you know, if one of them had like, I don't know, like an open open red lipstick in her pocket or something, then they're all tahoros because they all assume it's from her and she assumes that it's from this tliya. So if one of them had a good tliya and it's the size of that tliya, then they could all be tola on Rachel's tliya. Okay, nun dalet. So much for our discussion. Nun dalet ends with a separate point, and nun dalet is the nexus between Simen Kuf Pei Tes and Simen Kuf Tzadi. Says nun dalet, ein biksamim mishom veses. Guys, give me a chance, please. Ksamim are not relevant for vestos. Right? I just pointed out to you from the Shach and Taz that vestos are not relevant for tliyas ksamim. But ksamim are not relevant for vestos. Meaning, if a woman finds a kesem, let's say it's a kesem that's metamer. It's on white clothing, it's metabel toma, and it's bigger than a penny. She finds a veses on Rosh Chodesh. So it finds a kesem Rosh Chodesh, finds another kesem Rosh Chodesh, and finds another kesem Rosh Chodesh. Then she doesn't have a veses.
Ein b'ksami shavesis keitzan motza kesem rosh chodesh. Afilu sholosh ba'amim, like I just said, lo kivato v'lo karto. It's not koveya veses, and it's not oker veses. Meaning, if it happens three times, it's not koveya veses. If it happens three times, it's not oker her previous veses. Right? Let's say she used to have a veses for tesva. Then she finds a kesem rosh chodesh, kesem rosh chodesh, kesem rosh chodesh, with no tesva. The Tesva Vesis is still dormant. It's not Nekar because she wasn't Koveya new Vesis. Meaning, we totally discount Ksamim for the purpose of Vestos. Okay. Before Chutz, Mikisme, Eid HaBaduk law, except for Ksamim, which are not really Ksamim, on an Eid HaBaduk, she did an internal Badika with an Eid that was Baduk, Shein, Metame, Kol Shein, which are Metame with a Shear of Kol Shu, right? There's no din of a Gris. Vaharim, Kavir, Sokol Dover, which are considered like Rios for all purposes. Right? Blood you find in Bdiko cloth and consider Ria for all purposes. We'll come back to that. But some don't count for a Vesis. Now here we have a bit of a machlokas achronim. Is it really true that some don't count for Vesos? I mean, it's a mafurish bechad. What's the machlokas? The machlokas is, are there exceptions? After all, there's two kinds of summon. There are, and halachically they're the same, but maybe for Vesto purposes, you can see the hav being differentiated. What do I mean by this? There are ksamim that you mamash don't know where they're from, like in the old days. She finds red on her skirt. She doesn't know if it's from Dam Nida, if it's from, you know, the Shukshel Tabachim, this or that. That's not Koveya Vesis. Even if it turns out to be Tummy, it's not Koveya Vesis. But then there's like modern day ksamim, which they had in the old days also. They could have had such hepatitis. She knows for sure it's her own menstrual blood. Just, it's a kesem because she didn't have a hargasha, right? But she knows it's migufa. She knows it's menstrual blood. Just without a hargasha, it has the din of a kesem. So is that relevant for Vestos or not? After all, you might say that should be relevant for Vestos because Vestos are not a matter of halachic status. Vestos are a matter of biology. And biologically, this is menstrual blood. Who cares about its halachic status? Or do you say no? Vestos only applies to re'ia, not to ksamen. So that's a very valid question, right? Very valid question. What about the din of ksamim vadai migufa? Vadai means, you know, for all practical purposes. A regular common sense person would call it vadai. What about kesem shehu vadai migufa? Like nowadays, she finds a kesem on her underwear and she doesn't have any makas or anything like that. She knows exactly what it is. Is that koveya vesis? So there are three sheets about this.
You're talking about ones that are actually deemed tummy, like not one that gets out on the people.
Okay, so that's what you think, right? Bade Hasholchan Paskins. Give me a second. Bade Hasholchan Paskins, and his basis for this is that the Chazan Ish left it b'tzarech iyun. So the Chazan Ish left it b'tzarech iyun. So the Balav Hasholchan was machmer. He says no. Any kesem tame vadai migufa is koveya veses, counts for vestos. Any kesem that's tame that's vadai migufa is koveya, counts for vestos. Why? Because even though it's only drabanan, it's only kesem, but we know it's migufa, and therefore counts for vestos. Rav Moshe goes even further. Says Rav Moshe. Says Rav Moshe, even a kesem tahor vadai migufa that precedes the flow. Right? He says, what happens to a lot of women, right? Anyone who's married knows this. Before she gets the actual flow of her period, she might see a little spot here and there. Right? So, and it'll be tahor because it's less than a gris. Right, we tar is less than gris. Says Rav Moshe, but even though it's tahor, we know biologically that's part of her period. Says it's tahor, meaning Rav Moshe says she can have to sleep with her husband. She's totally tahora. That's mitzad halacha, because halacha depends on gzeiras hakasim and certain halachic factors. But in terms of biology, that's part of her period. If she went to a doctor, the doctor wouldn't say more than a gris, less than a gris. Doctor couldn't care less than more or less than a gris. The doctor would say, ah, you had like a tiny little spot and then a day later you got your period. That tiny little spot was the beginning of your period. What else do you think it was?
right? So therefore, Rav Moshe has not many people. Only the real Talmidim of Rav Moshe are machmer like this. He says even a kesem tahor, when she's mamish tahor, it still counts for vestos because it's at least if we have proof that it's part of her period. He doesn't say stop in the middle of the month because biologically it's part of her period. The Chazon Ish says no, no, no. Only if it's a kesem tahor. So Rav Moshe is like purely practical, not halachic at all. The Chazon Ish is half and half. He's halachic. It's only if the kesem is tame, only if it's on a davar mekabel tame and more than a gris and on a beged lavan, etc. But he's also practical. He says even though it's a kesem, since it's vade migufa, it counts for vestos. However, the Shulchan Aruch Harav and the Minhag Olam as and the Minhag Olam, that's right, forced it. Others quote as the Minhag Olam. And this one, right? Well, it also says nope. No kesem is ever koveya veses. Even vadai migufa. No kesem is ever koveya veses. It doesn't matter. Like pashup shot in the mechaber. No, don't add conditions. The minaga olam is not like the Rav Moshe. For sure not like the Rav Moshe. It's not like the Badei Shulchan either. I'm sure some people, very few people are machlik like this Rav Moshe. I bet only the Talmidim of Hakim. There's some people who are machlik like this Badei Shulchan. That's not the minaga olam. The minaga olam is that. The minaga olam is that no summon, even Badei Megufa, is kovei veses. Then what is kovei veses if a kesem is not? After all, nowadays we don't have hargasha. So the answer is, as we mentioned, simon kof pei gemel, right? If you share the flow of blood, that counts as a hargasha nowadays. And that also solves, like the Badei Shulchan says, it must be you have to count from a kesem, because otherwise, like, how would you count vestos nowadays? So the answer is, you count from the flow nowadays. So you count vestos only based on the flow of dam. Right? Only based on, and every woman knows the difference between summon and flow of dam, not based on finding a spot here and there, based on when she really has her period.
Isn't the body of Shulchan's karma going to become a kula? That he's discounting now the continuance, let's say like an emotion stage, right? Where like they proceed the flow, right?
So right. The body of Shulchan himself, now I have to remember if I'm quoting him accurately or not, because he might have said to be machmer both ways, though. Kedarka Bakodesh. So he says nira sheish lahachmir bazeh. It's unclear what he means by that. Maybe someplace else he explains. Rav Moshe is definitely bein lekula bein lechomer. I don't know if it's a kula or a chomer. It's just different. Right. You're right. But anyway, the minhag olam is to go with the flow, as my Rebbe Rabbi Willick says. Just remember to go with the flow, and you know how to be kovei vestos.
Rav Moshe's kula is only dafka if it's that kind of spotting that you know.
Correct.
Like,
he does not
be like a random.
Right. He does not say this about mid-cycle spotting.
Okay.
Only if it's the beginning of a period. He's very clear on that. Which he says is the derech olam, which is the derech olam, which is why we said, remember, that if a woman has little spots, especially around the time of her period, she should be porish from tashmish. Meanwhile, because it's at least. It's at least a suffix that her period is going to come soon. Okay. What about this kiss me'ed abadik? Well, of course, what do you mean only the flow? How about, there's another way to go via vessus. The other way to go via vessus is if you find a blood on a bedika cloth, right? Because that counts as a re'iyah for all purposes. We know it counts as a re'iyah for all purposes. So if you find blood on the bedika cloth, that sounds like it's kovei vessus just as much as a flow from the machaber, or in the old lashon, just as much as a hargasha. However, all the modern day poskim say, I found this, I didn't find this on the daf, but I found this in Rabbi Forrest, in the Badei Shulchan, all the modern day poskim. I know Yonatan wants to disagree. You can go to the base manager and ask him to bring you the rights on the other side, but the minhag olam is, like he quotes here from tons of modern day poskim, chutz mi eid habadikla. He may be pashtos divrei Shulchan Aruch. It would seem that's total vestos. However, ra'inu v'shamanu from the Bali Horah, and okay, he quotes a few svarim here in the first book. He quotes more svarim. All the modern day svarim say this, that the minhag is she'ein machnisa v'dika hi b'tol cheshbon vestos klal, because
Ein ha'eda bader k'ri'il nivesos el b'veses kavua v'lo b'veses she'enu kavua. That's what all the modern day poskim say, right? Or a dam on the bedika cloth, but dam on the bedika cloth only makes a veses kavua, not eno kavua. Which is why the Baruch Shulchan says the minhag is, even though it seems to be against the Shulchan Aruch, the minhag is that we only count from the blood flow, not from finding blood in the bedikah cloth. Now, how often do you find blood in the bedikah cloth, really? Usually, when does a woman find blood in the bedikah cloth? Theoretically, it could be in her veses. She has to bedikah in her veses, and her period might come in her veses. That's how periods work. But usually not, because nowadays most women don't have veses kavua, and it's sort of a stab in the dark, and usually people don't become tamei by finding blood in the bedikah cloth during the veses. Usually when people find blood in the bedikah cloth is during Shemini Kiyum, right? During Shemini Kiyum. So if it's a hefsek tara, then, okay, maybe you're bleeding the whole time. There's no having you to count that as a veses because it's a continuation. But sometimes you can find blood in the bedikah cloth on day 5 of Shemini Kiyum. Okay, that seems to be a that's not a continuation where, remember, we had the whole machlokes we showed in the Balamor against the Rav and the Ramban, whether every day, that's not every day, she could have been clean for 4 days. Right? And all of a sudden, the fifth day, finds out in the bedikah cloth. Do we count that as vestos? So the Baruch Shulchan says, no, the minhag olam is against against what it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch, is to ignore the bedikah cloth and just go with the flow. Why is that the minhag olam? So he says, because we rely on the achronim who say that this din of kisme ed habaduk law is only for kavua, not einu kavua. And since this is never going to end up being kavua, because it only happens randomly, occasionally on random days, therefore, the minhag is to ignore them. You can't really ignore them. It's a mefurish mechaber, that if it happens 3 times, then it counts as a veses kavua. However, since usually we're never kavua veses nowadays, most women only have einu kavua, we ignore blood in the bedika cloth, and what's the svara? So everyone explains the svara, because sometimes we're choshev for veses kavua, sometimes we're not choshev. Sorry, sometimes we're choshev for einu kavua, sometimes not. Day of the month, we're choshev for einu kavua. Haflaga, we're choshev for einu kavua. Dilug and Sirug, we're not choshev for einu kavua. Why aren't we choshev for einu kavua of Dilug and Sirug? And, you know, some other things. Because that's not a common, normal way to get your period. Therefore, there were only goes of veshev einu kavua on the most common ways to get your period. So, say the Achronim, explain the Achronim, since the common way to get your period is the flow of blood, not just having blood in a drop in a bedika cloth, meaning everyone's period is supposed to be like a flow of blood. Like, it could be anything, but that's not normal. Therefore, there were only gozer resh she'enu kavua on the most normal ways of seeing. They weren't gozer resh she'enu kavua on uncommon ways of seeing, since this is an uncommon way of getting your period. We don't mean it's uncommon to have the dirt, a red bedika cloth, but it's uncommon for the period to just be a drop in a bedika cloth. It's common for the period to be a strong flow of blood. Therefore, they weren't gozer veser she'enu kavua on this. The Badei Shulchan explains a little better. He says, if you looked at the lashon, the diuk lashon kufaytes, the lashon that we shown was always meduyek. The reason for choshev veser she'enu kavua is because it might become kavua. That was their lashon always. What's the point? Things that are likely to become kavua, to be your normal pattern, okay, but it's not likely for someone's normal pattern to just have a drop in a bedikah cloth. The normal pattern is to have a strong flow of blood. Therefore, we're only choshesh for a veses kavua, not an eina kavua, which is why the minhag olam is just not to worry about it so much at all, because it'll probably never end up being a veses kavua. So the second half, the first half of the mechaber, we take very seriously. Ein b'ksam yishon veses. We disagree with the Baruch Shulchan and with Ramosha, and we never have veses for ksam, only for a flow. The second half of the mechaber, we only accept with conditions. We say on a bedika cloth, 3 times is kovei veses. But for once, you don't have to worry about it, which is why we usually don't pay so much attention. Like if you have a drop on the fifth day of Shemini Kiyum, we don't say you have to calculate them into your vestos, because it's not going to end up making kvias, and therefore we just ignore it. Okay, at the end, right? Those of you after learning Shulchan Aruch for a while, you learn that sometimes at the end of the siman, the Shach and the Taz just throw in things that they didn't find the right place to put earlier in the siman. So we just have this random achlokas for Amah and Taz at the end of the siman, which is very parallel to a machlokas we had about gris.
Except there was a formal issue. Here there isn't. Here he's talking about more than a gris. He doesn't say the words more than a gris, but obviously they're talking about more than a gris because they say you need to have a tliya. Right? Interesting machlokas, which we will not, we'll summarize. We won't go into too long, and I doubt it will happen in everyday life. What if you have a kesem, which is but on the edges is red more than a gris, or more than a kigris, and in the middle is, you know, let's say it's yellow. I don't have a yellow marker, right? And it looks like all one stain. Well, hold on, there's more than a gris. What's the shaila? The shaila is, but she has a tliya. Do we say use the tliya? Remember, if it was less than a gris, we already paskin the kula on that, right? Do we, because that's for formal reasons. But here it's a pure tliya. Do we say use the tliya? Or do we say no, you can't use the tliya because it's obviously part of a bigger thing, right? Let's say a little better. The yellow, the red is, okay. She has a tliya, right? But there's no tliya for the yellow. The yellow is clearly a discharge, right? So the yellow is from her mokor. So does that prove the red is from her mokor, or can we still use a tliya? Okay, so that is a three-way machlokas achronin. The the Rama is machmir. Says you can't be tola because it obviously came from her guf. The Taz argues, except at the very end, the Taz says, it's a very long Taz, but im lo, but also in yeshanisho show you nira or is ayin sho odu mukecho mare tahar. What does he say? Ein litlos mare adom hol sheniftach mikora lahotzi mare tahar. Once we know her uterus opened and let out a yellow discharge, now we can't be told of the red discharge. That's what he sounds like he's saying, at least. The Taz says, no way. Says the Taz, no. Yesh litlos chutz mi mikra zeh shenire barur shahakol mari echad. He says, in this case, if it clearly looks unified and united like it's all on Mari, you can't be told because you know it's for a mucker. The yellow's for a mucker, the red's for a mucker. But if it didn't look unified, if it was just like red splotch, yellow splotch, then you can say, no, the yellow's from her and the red is from somewhere else. It could be that's what the Rama also really meant, and maybe he was just making too much of a straw man. And Rabbi Kiva Eger here, I think it is, on the bottom. Yeah, quotes from the... No, The Gilgan Marasha on the side quotes from the Mil Tzedakah that you can be makel in all cases. He quotes the Mil Tzedakah is talking about a macholis, but the way the Mil Tzedakah says it is because it could really happen. So says the Gilgan Marasha. He says, Yesh litlos bechol mikre. Again, this is not so likely to happen because, like, how often do we really have a tliya nowadays? Usually all the red is on the underwear where you don't really have any good tliyos. but if this situation did come up, then you have this big three-way machlokas where the Rama seems to say, at least in some places, sounds like saying, no, as long as you know that her mucker was releasing yellow, then the red is also for her mucker. Taz says, no, that's crazy. Maybe your mucker released the yellow and the red is from someplace else, unless it mamish looks together. And the Gilgan Marasha says that no, even if it looks together, it might be two separate things. You can be tola. Just when two separate things have to land on each other, so they unify, and one goes to the inside, one goes to the outside, and they start to look unified, but they're really two separate things. Okay, now we're ready to move on to Simon Kuf Tzadi Aleph, which is very, very, very Nogei L'Maisa as well.
which is din isha shenimtza dam behashtana, a woman who finds blood when urinating. The here it starts with, there's a whole parak named after this, right? There's a common case nowadays. I guess it was a common case in the, not that being in the Mishnah necessarily proves it's a common case, as we know. But still, okay, if you have a parak named after it, then maybe it's a common case in there in the days of Chazal also. Right? So after her Roa Kesem, Simon Kavtzadi comes, Ha'isha Shi Osa, which is Osa Tracha. Right? The ninth parak, which is Simon Kavtzadi Aleph. Ha'isha Shi Osa Tracha, V'ras Adam, she finds blood in the toilet. In the toilet bowl, which again in those days was literally a bowl. So, Rabbi Meir Omer, Omedes Torah, Miyoshevas Tmeyev, Miyoshevas Torah. Meir says, if she was standing, she's Tmeyev, she was sitting, which is of course the normal way women urinate, then she's Tahora. Yosher, Bein Kach, Bein Kach Tahora. Either way, Tahora. Okay, and then it has the second case, what if a man and woman both went to the bathroom and then found something? Then almost everyone's Mikol. But before we get to that, what's the machlokis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi? And I'll cheat a little. How do we paskin? The Gemara says very, very, very clearly. The end, like a few lines later in the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel v'Yamar L'Amar Yehudam Shmuel Halacha K'Rab Yossi. Chayin Orle Rav Abba L'Kala Halacha K'Rab Yossi. We paskin Rabbi Yossi that either way she is Tahora. And then the Gemara says a little later that commenting on Yossi, Ma'udhi Mahani Milit Yevon L'Chachil Lo Kamashlon. Kamashulan, that even the Hachilo Yossi is totally Mekel. Okay, so Rabbi Yossi's Mekel sounds pretty open and shut. What does the Machaber say? Ha'isha Sheshtina Mayim V'yotza Dam Im Meirag Leha. A woman who was urinating and blood came out with the urine. Bein Sheshtina V'yomedes V'in Sheshtina V'yoshevus. Whether she was standing or sitting, Rabbi Yossi says either way. Harei Zut Tahora, she's Tahora. Okay, very simple. That's what Rabbi Yossi says, and we possibly Rabbi Yossi. V'afilo Hirgish Gufin is Daza. Even if she felt a tremor in her body, she had a hargosha. She doesn't have to worry even about the Hargasha. She Hargasha Meir Glayim Hizo. That's the Hargasha Meir Glayim. That's not the Hargasha of Damnida. Oh, she had a Hargasha and she found blood. Aren't we worried about Damnida? He says, no. Ain't Meir Glayim in a Cheder. Because Meir Glayim don't come from the uterus. It comes from two different places. It comes from the bladder. The Damzeh, so why is there... He says it can't be Damnida. Because Damnida doesn't come out with urine. It's two different places. And so why is there dam in the urine? The dam zeh damako b'chalcholos obikolya. This must be dam of a maka. And okay, exactly where what he means by chalcholos, we needn't get into. But someplace in the urinary tract, the urinary system, there must be blood. Right? It's very common in diseases. People have blood in their urine. Usually, nowadays, at least with modern medicine, if people have blood in their urine, they like, it's not visible blood. It's a little blood, and they can find it in a lab test, and they go to Kopach Olim, etc., and it means there's something wrong. Okay, I assume in the old days it was a little more common, maybe, that they didn't have so much good medicine, so it was more common that people would actually see blood in the urine if they had something wrong in their kidneys or their bladder or something. Okay, chachol is a little tricky exactly what part it means, but let's assume that he somehow is using it to mean part of the urinary system. Okay, that's the psak of the Mechaber. It's based on the assumption of Rabbi Yossi that blood doesn't come with urine. The urine comes out, and there's no place for Dam Nida to join it. It just comes straight out from the bladder and into the toilet, and it doesn't pick up Dam Nida on the way. And therefore, if there is Dam here, it must be some other explanation. And that seems pretty possibly like Rabbi Yossi. However, this gets a little complicated. Because, really, the Gemara doesn't seem to make it complicated at all. The Gemara doesn't even analyze Rabbi Yossi at all. Except, a little later on, they say, maybe, they're not sure who's the one who says that if a man and woman both urinate in a pot, it's okay. So, is it Rabbi Meir, is it Rabbi Yossi? And they say, maybe it's Rabbi Yossi. Why does Rabbi Yossi have to say it twice? Didn't he say if only the woman did it, it's okay? So for sure, if the man also went to the bathroom there, it's okay. It says, oh, no, to show that he's really making totally l'chafila. We'll come back to that line. But the Gemara does analyze Rabbi Meir. So what's Rabbi Meir's shita? The Gemara says, Ma'ishna umedes darmina meir glayim hodr lomakar v'aisi dam. Yosheves nami Namer Glaim Hodl Makar Isi Dam. Amr Shmuel Bim is aneket. Okay. The Gemara says, what's Rabbi Meir Shita? In order to understand Rabbi Yossi, it seems like we have to understand Rabbi Meir a little. What's Rabbi Meir Shita? What's Rabbi Meir Shita? He says that, if she's sometimes hoder lemakar v'aisi dam, the urine can go back, hoder, like choser, go back to the makar and pick up dam. Okay, what exactly does this mean? Somehow it seems like if she's holding in the urine, she's not letting it flow freely, if she's holding it in, then it can get stuck and since it doesn't flow freely, it'll just like travel a little to where there's damnida, pick up some damnida, and then eventually drip out. Okay, I haven't checked exactly how this works biologically, but you see the svara that if it's flowing strongly, then it's flowing. It's not going to like pick up any damnida. If it's not, then it can just surface tension travel along the skin, chop some damnida, and then damnida will come out. And therefore, they say that's the difference between standing and sitting. If she's sitting, she can urinate normally with a strong flow. Getting ahead of myself. She can urinate normally. If she's standing, then she can't urinate normally. And she tries to, control it too hard. And therefore, she doesn't let it go freely. And therefore, it can pick up damnida. So the Gemara then says, but even when she's sitting, she can still hold it in a little and not urinate freely and pick up damnida. So they say, no. Amar Shmuel mizaneket. It only means she's sitting and we'll take the most of the Gemara and letting it flow freely. Right? Zinok is a strong flow, right? Don Gurayi Yizanek min Habashan. Dilma Basar Tamamaya Sadam Abba, maybe after she finishes the strong flow of urine, then the damnida can drip out. Now, what's the case? We really restrict this kula very there. It's only when she's sitting on the toilet seat and urinating freely into the middle of the toilet bowl. So she's sitting like weird, right? She's sitting like the middle of her body is on the seat. And then she's urinating into the bowl. And we find blood in the bowl, we don't find it on the seat. So that proves, if it's in the bowl and not in the seat, it proves it can just stom drip out of her after she finished urinating, then it would have been on the seat. It proves it came with the flow of urine. If it came with the flow of urine, then it couldn't be damnida, because damnida can't come with the flow of urine if it's flowing freely, and that's why it's okay. So that is Rabbi Meir. Says Rabbi Meir, he says that basically it's Tameya unless she was Yosheves, Umizanekes, sorry, do this better, Yosheves al Sfasa Seifel, Mizanekes Litocha Seifel. She was sitting on the edge, which is what we call the toilet seat, the edge of the bowl. She was urinating a free flow into the bowl. Umatza Dam, Tocha Seifel, the low. And what is this necessary for? We need Yosheves and Mizanekes, because otherwise, maybe Hador Lamakor, the icy dam, the urine can go back to the Mukor if she's standing or she's just not flowing freely. And that means holding it in. If she's holding it in, it could cause the urine to pick up damnida. And you need this whole fancy thing about she's on the edge of the seifel, and the urine's going into the seifel, and she only finds it inside the seifel, not on the edge of the seifel, because otherwise, what's the lashon here? Bosser is Hamamaya Asa. Otherwise, maybe, I'll just put it in English. Damnida came after urination.
Sure, maybe the dam nida just came coincidentally, not in the urine at all. How do we know it came in the urine? Maybe it came not in the urine and just ended up in the same place. Well, the answer is, if it came not in the urine, it would have been on the toilet seat, which is where the middle of her body was. How would it have gotten into the bowl? If it's in the bowl, it obviously came with the urine. And if it came with the urine and she wasn't holding it in, then obviously it's not dam nida. That is Rav Meir's very restricted shita. Now the question is, what does Rav Yossi hold? So, the pshat of Rav Yossi, and this is the shita of many Rishonim, especially the Rishonim Sfarad. Rashi sounds like this. But the Rambam and the Ramban and the Rashba, etc. Rashi not opposing. That's how Rashi sounds like in the Gemara. Say that she is all beis tahora. We're not worried about any of these things. Says Rav Yossi, we're not worried about any of these things. Now, Rav Meir has a lot of chashos. Hader l'makar isidam. We're not worried about that. Basar de tamumaya asidam after your nation finished. We're not worried. We don't worry about these chashos. That is the that is the pashup shot of Rav Yossi. Okay. Meaning. He's not worried about either chashash of Rav Meir. That's one way of reading Rav Yossi. And that's what we just read in the Mechaber. Right? This, if you're a Sfardi, you could just stop here. Save yourself a lot of time. Simmons over. Simon actually is over, if you're sorry, right? That's it. Here we had a few lines of Machaber, and the next two pages is just Ramah, right? If you're Sephardi, Simon's over. That's it. There's no toilet shaitas. However, the Rishonei Ashkenaz make this a little more complicated. So already Tosos and the Rush say, hold on a second. Tosos and the Rush say, you know, in the Beis Yosef, he goes through exactly how they get it from the Shachat Targum to Gemara. I'll just summarize. You know, that first Hader Dam Lamakar of Icy Dam, that's not a crazy shash. It could be. Oh, but obviously he's not Choshen Mashen Rav Meir. So the answer is, what do they say? They say he is worried a little about Hader Lamakar Icy Dam. He is worried a little that if she holds it in a ton, really unnaturally holds it in and causes it not to flow, maybe the Damnida can go to the place, the urine, the Meir Glayim can go to the place of Damnida and hop a little Damnida. But he's not worried as much for Rav Meir. Rav Meir says she needs to be sitting and freely flowing. Rav Yossi's not worried so much, but he says she needs to be either sitting or freely flowing. Right? So therefore, what does he say? He says she's tahora if either yosheves or mizanakas, but not if she's omedes ve, what's the opposite of mizanakas, is shoseses, is dripping. Like, there are two factors that discuss how freely she's going, whether she's sitting or standing, and whether she's freely flowing or dribbling. Right? So Rav Meir says, no, you need to be sitting and flowing and freely flowing in order to make sure that it's going stark, that it's going straight. Rav Yossi says, no, either one is good enough. If she's sitting, then it's automatically going to go out straight enough. She has a good angle. If she's a free flow, it's automatically going to go out straight enough. The only time we're afraid it'll go crooked and pick up Damnida is if she's standing and dribbling dribs and drabs. And that is the opinion of Tosfos and the Rush. And that is, okay, could be, meaning Rav Yossi argues with Rav Meir, who says he's two steps removed from Rav Meir. Rav Meir says he needs two factors. Who says Rav Yossi needs zero factors? Maybe he needs one factor. So that is the next line of the Ramah. Yesh omer de'ein lahater el b'yosheves v'shtina. You should only make if she was sitting. Which again, covers 99.9% of modern day cases.
Avol ba'omedes, if she happens to be standing, im mekalachas l'tocha seifa l'ninstam dam tohor. Then, if she's mekalachas, that's mezanekes. If she's flowing into the seifel, then it's fine. Avolim shows us in al shvasa seifel v'ninstam dam tameya. But if they were dripping onto the edge of the seifel, and here it's lav dafka the edge of the seifel, just means dripping, says the shach. V'ninstam dam tameya the whole makom tsar chozel makom v'ninstam. Since she was both standing and she wasn't releasing freely, then it's very tight. And she's really not giving the urine a place to go out, and therefore it goes to the mukkah or to the place where it can pick up the nida and gets dam. This is the first opinion in the Ramah. Equals Ramah number one. The Ramah's first opinion is based on Tosfos and the Rosh. Then he's not totally makel. Rav Meir says she needs tarti l'tivusa to be makel. He says, no, you just need one of these factors, as long as you don't tarti l'resa. Then comes the third shita. This is the Maharam Rittenberg, quoted in the Hagos by Manios and the Mordechai. And yet, if you went through the Beis Yosef, it was a little confusing to what extent is it based on this Gemara, to what extent is it based on the Gemara Daf Gedalet. This is coming from, you can come to this from two angles. One angle is the way the Beis Yosef quotes the Hagos Maimonios. It's not the way the Beis Yosef quotes. It's the Hagos Maimonios. Says the Hagos Maimonios that even Rabbi Yossi says something is a little strange, right? It's all coming from Maharam Rittenberg, although we'll see it's coming from someone a little earlier. Maharam and the Mordechai and the Hagos by Manios, right? Quote the Maharam Rittenberg. He was the Rebbe of both of them. They quote the Maharam Rittenberg. He was the Rebbe of the Rosh as well. But he's not here. Who says something strange. He says that Rabbi Yossi is only Mitahir if she was sitting on the toilet seat and Mikalachas Latocha Seifel. Now, says the Maharam, he says, nope, only Tahora if she was Yosheves and Al Sfasa Seifel O Mikalachas, or we'll just call it Mizanekes because we use the Lashon of the Gemara, Litocha Seifel V'nim Tzadam Litocha Seifel V'low Al Sfasa Seifel. Okay, I apologize for squeezing that in, but don't worry about reading it because it's the same thing I wrote here. Right? So they say, no, Rabbi Yossi, now, obviously, forget the Gemara for now. What's the Svara? What are they so worried about? They say, Rabbi Yossi, of course, he's only Mekel when he says that, when he says that he's Mekel either way, of course he's only Mekel if she was sitting, again, there's a weird way to sit, usually you sit. Like your legs in the toilet seat, in the middle of your body is in the middle of the toilet. No, she was sitting with the middle of her body, right? The makom, the oso makom on the toilet seat, and she was somehow spritzing a strong flow into the toilet, and the dam was found inside the toilet and on the toilet seat. Okay, what chashash do you worry about, Mati?
That's the curves on the edge.
That what? Why is he required that she be like on the seat and you only find blood in the water and not on the seat? Because otherwise, what is he afraid of? What? Okay, but you only need to say. Yes.
You only need to say that on the Shulchan Aruch. I know I haven't read the Shulchan Aruch yet, but that's what the that's what the Shach says, which we'll read in a minute. What's he worried about? He is worried about Basar Ditamumaya Asidam, meaning, well, that's this, right? After the urination, the dam came. Maybe, after all, Ein Chanami dam doesn't come in urine. Maybe the dam dripped out after she finished urinating. Why shouldn't that be a problem? The answer is, because the dam dripped out, it would have been on the toilet seat, where the Osel Makom was. Since the dam was only in the bowl, that shows it came in the urine and not after the urination. And this is, of course, what's the obvious problem that you should stone me for? Yeah. All of a sudden, Rabbi Yosef became the same as Rabbi Meir, according to them, right? Meaning, it's impossible. You just turned Rabbi Yosef into Rabbi Meir. Like, that can't be. He has to not be Rabbi Meir. Okay?
Right, so as I was trying to say, he's pushes for both, but Rabbi Yosef thinks that...
but practically, it's still the same.
No, Chalant Gusa is still going to be good enough, so there's one case that will make a difference. She's Omedes, and there's Nekes, and so has Seifel.
Seifel.
Okay. Right? Because there, Rabbi Yosef says that's good, because that's Chalant Gusa.
So that is a good, okay, let's read in the Rambam. Says the Rambam, V'yesh omrim, da'afil b'yosheves ein lahatir, even if she's sinning, we can't be megal al mekalachas. She has b'yosheves and mekalachas. I know, he didn't say that yet. V'nimtza dam tocha seifel, and you find the blood inside the bowl. Aval asfas seifel, but if you find the blood on the edge of the bowl, she's tameya. Uva omedes, becholim yan tameya. Unlike now, Chesky could be theoretically right, but that's not the way the Ramah understands him, and that's not the simplest way to read him. V'chol inyan tveya v'hachi nahog, and that's Vinig Ashkenaz equals Ramah himself. Right? The Ramah says we are macher like this seemingly crazy shita, like this impossibly ridiculous shita of the Maharami of Rittenberg. Quoting the Agos of Ammonius in the Mordechai, that Rabbi Yossi is only Mekel if she's sitting, like her mayor, and if she's freely flowing, like her mayor, and if she's finds the blood inside and not on the toilet lid, and adds the Shach, and Sivkat and Dalid, Velo Shoseses, V'yoshevis Asfasa Seifel, she has to be sitting on the edge of the Seifel, V'nimta Dam Tov, being a case that never ever happened to the whole world. Din Isa, etc. Kach mashma b'shas v'chein kozav around the remeir. Yeah, and he says, how do I know this is the true shita of the Rambam Rutenberg? Because this is exactly what the Rishonim Sfarad say Rav Meir means. So that mistama, this is what the Ramah thinks Rav Yossi means. Of course, the fundamental problem is, how could he say that Rav Yossi means the same thing as Rav Meir? There's a machlokas between Rav Yossi and Rav Meir. Like, Mehechi Tesei, you get this crazy idea that Rav Yossi is the same as Rav Meir. So Chesky's saying, and he's right. One way to defend this is to still find some subtle difference, which the Shach is going to deny. Shach Sivkat and Dalit says the Rav Yossi Shita, according to Ramah, is the exact same thing as Rav Meir, according to the Mechaber. Chesky, you still could be right, but that's not the way the Poskim say.
I mean, I was playing up with Yossi. I thought Yossi had made it sound like they were exactly like the other Chachmei Ashkenaz, but they think, based on the reading of the Gemara, that idea of whether it's a Tov or a Spas of Seifel is also relevant to Rav Yossi. He deny that reality. So he's also holding for that other thing, but he still holds with the Tartim versus Chad, the Tivusa.
Okay. At least when he quotes the Gosma Marios.
Right, that's what I'm talking
about. Or at least when he quotes the... Okay. But now the tricky part is, how could they hold Rav Yossi the same as Rav Meir? Like, where does the Shita Rishonei Ashkenaz come from? So, it comes from this possible Rabbeinu Chananel, based on the Gemara Daf Yudalid. If we remember, I'll briefly, and then we'll start with it next time, because I do have to go. If we remember, Daf Yudalid Mabeis compared the Machlokas of about the aid chain obadr, the aid chain obadr for the aid that you put someplace afterwards, to the machlokas for Meir and Rav Yossi. And the problem was that over there, the machlokas was it kesem or nida? And here the machlokas is tamei or tahora. So he saw one sheet that says, oh, maybe there also it's tahora. But now, says Rabbeinu Chananel, which is funny, he's only quoting a few Rishonim. And there's a big debate in the Rishonim whether he actually said it or not. But says Rabbeinu Chananel, no. Rabbi Yossi didn't mean tahora. This whole Mishnah, of course Rabbi Yossi holds tahora even without these conditions. But he didn't actually mean tahora. He just meant tamei midrabanan mishum kesem. And that's the yesod of the Shita of the Maharam. What's the yesod of the Maharam? The yesod of the Maharam isn't Rabbi Yossi the same as Rabbi Meir? So the answer is no. They both agree what case is tahora and what is Tamea. They never meant to argue about who's Tahora and who's Tamea, even though that's what it sounded like they were saying the whole Perikaroa Kesem. But based on Daf Yudal and Beis, right, they disagree only in the Tamea cases. Is she Tamea Mida Oraisa or Tamea Mida Banan? And that was their whole machlokas, that Reb Meir held in the Tamei cases she's Tamei Midoraisa, and Reb Yossi held in the Tamei cases she's only Tamei Midrabanan. But they didn't argue which case were Tamei, which case were Tar. They both agreed she's only Tar in this very uncommon, highly rare, unlikely to ever happen weird case. That's the only case she's Tar, this weird case. She's Tamei in 99% of the cases. So it was a big whole machlokas, the whole parakar, Isha Shiotz Trachal. Chok is in the 99% of cases where she's Tamea, and let's just add a little. Which case is Tahora? 1%. Which case is Tamea? 99%. They both agree 99% of the time she's Tamea. Rabbi Yossi never meant to actually be Megal. He just meant to say, when he said Tahora, 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 he meant Tahora midaraisa, Tamea mishum kesem. That's all Rabbi Yossi really meant. So the real yesod of this is not a different way of reading Gemara on in the ninth parak, Kishishol Srachel. It's taking the Daf Yudalid when they compare Rabbi Yossi Shita to the Shita of Kesem, saying every time he said Tahora, he didn't actually mean it. He just meant Tmei Amidrabanan. But really, Lemaisa, whatever Meir's Metahir, Rabbi Yossi's Metahir. Whatever Meir's Metahir, Rabbi Yossi, Metahir, Daraisa, Rabbi Yossi's Metahir, Metahir, Midrabanan. But they both agree what's Tamei and what's Tahir. In which case, we really pass like Rabbi Meir for practical purposes, which is exactly what the Shach says. That, in Sivkat and Dalit, whatever the Rishonim Sfarat say Rav Meir Shita is, the Maharam Rutenberg thinks Rav Yossi Shita is. The only difference is, when she's Tmei, is it Daraisa or Darabana? Okay, will that be significant? We'll come back to that next time. So, okay, we'll come back and pick up this next time. I have to run home to light, because you'll get the board, and to be continued, Amir Tashem, on Sunday, and we'll bring it down to Halach LaMaisa.